All right, welcome back everyone to another episode of Box Mining. Here today we have Crypto with Friends, because crypto is always better with friends. Whether we're going up or going down, it's always a journey. So obviously right now we are on the road to recovery. Today we see that the markets are bouncing back quite aggressively throughout the entire week. We'll talk a little bit about what's happening on the markets. We have today our special guest, returning guests. So we have Robin from PokerStarter. He's always excitement. He's also known as Robin the Bear because he was extremely bearish for the past 2 months. Just wanted to point that out. But of course, last episode when he was on last Friday, you knew that he was buying back in. So is a bear turning? Is he shifting to Robin the Bull now? That's a question for today's episode.
To find out.
Stay tuned. Maybe you sold everything. I don't know, right? Maybe 17K, you freaked out, you sold everything, you became ultra bear, right? Who knows? And then we got Nathan here, returning guest. He's making some awesome, awesome videos on YouTube and very detailed videos too. Nathan's been traveling quite a bit. He's been not looking at crypto, but that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. Sometimes it's like we need to take a break. He's the ultimate center. He's a rock solid center. He's the anchor for us here. If he freaks out, it's game over. It's a game over. So, all right, guys, we also have a special guest coming on later to talk about Graph competitor Covalent is coming on. They're talking about building out APIs and how to get data off the blockchain. And you guys know that this is becoming something super huge, because as blockchain progresses, well, more and more services need to pull data from other projects, pull statistics, pull information, and this is becoming super important. So we'll have Ganesh coming up in a quick second as well. Obviously, to start off, we're just going to chat and chill. Today is a Wednesday session today. So crypto with friends, Wednesday sessions are always a lot more chill. We have all the questions as well. If you guys want to ask any questions with us, feel free to. And of course, if you guys have any big concerns about this market, that's going to be good. We also have a comment about Nathan's forehead out of frame, but I think he's doing the super saiyan hair. He needs to do the hair review moment.
I've just been traveling.
It's over 9,000. You need to do that for Eve, okay? You need to turn your hair like deep blonde, all right?
Dude, if Eve hits 9,000, I'll do it just for this channel. Right, I don't know what I'm gonna do for my channel, but I'll do it.
Do the hair reveal, right? After you pull off your McDonald's hat, you'll be like, oh, I'm off shit from work, and then be like, fuck, look at this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Where'd you get that hat though? You got from McDonald's for real? I'm down.
Yeah, I'm a McDonald's hat for real, man. I'm off my shift today.
Hey.
Get up, yeah. Flipping on burgers. Like crypto's up, so I can just, you know, tell my shift manager peace out, guys. All right, guys. So, guys, if you guys like these chill sessions, if you guys like asking questions, if you guys like to make sure you smash up those likes. It really does help this channel grow. It's extremely... And also, of course, if you guys are concerned and if the channel helps you at all, it does definitely helps this channel grow. And make sure you click the subscribe button if you like. And we always do a lot of spontaneous live streams as well, especially if you guys have concerns. That'll be fun. And just smash those up. So let's get started. Let's talk about everyone's adventure here so far and what everyone is doing. So I guess let's start off with Rob. How have you been, Rob? How have you been? You bought the dip, so you claim.
Whoa. Yeah.
You know, claim. So, I don't know. Like, I need to hear a story out.
No. So what really happened, right, as we talked about on stream a couple of days ago, is that when I saw, so I went, I was 75% stable at the time, right, when we had like the real dip. And at about 31K, I got all back into Bitcoin and some Ethereum also at like 2,200, I think. And then I actually turned bearish again.
You turned bearish again.
No.
Did you fall for the China FUD?
I did, man, of course. Because, you know, I was also like sort of double exposed, because, you know, at PokerStarter we talk a lot to like Chinese projects, and, you know, some of them were quite worried out of the blue, right? So I was like, okay, wow, maybe that is serious, right? So But it really was more about price action than the FUD, right? So when we went to like 42,000 or so the day after, I was like, I thought I'm the king of the world, man. I was like, wow, I was the trade of a lifetime, you know? And then we went down again, right? And I was like, wow, okay. So yeah, I sold everything for like, I think again at like 37, 38, something like that. And then of course we went down to like 31 or so again, right? And yeah, and then yesterday I started reaccumulating, right? So I didn't go like all in like I did at 31K, but I did start, you know, rebuying large chunks of my previous position with the stables that I have now. And yeah, that I'm going to I still think we might dip a bit, which is why I didn't want to go back, you know, all in straight away. Though when you look at the charts right now, Ethereum and some alts are going pretty strong, but yeah, I'll take a few days, you know, see if we dip
so
again.
You've been, but you've been quite the swing trader. So basically, when it dumped to 31K, you bought in, and then when it went up, you sold, and then you bought back in again, right? So this is like your story.
I got lucky.
Right?
Yeah, I got lucky. Yeah,
you're like the most epic swing trader of the century. But obviously, I think something that is quite different is that when you're very exposed, your mentality shifts, right? I think you probably just felt that as well when you're all in crypto and you're seeing the fun news and the crypto prices are going down, it actually does feel like emotionally quite bad. I think that's did you feel that? Was that the issue? Was data coming in to suggest that this was not going to be good?
See, for me, it's exactly what you just said, right? So I always have a fat bag of staples that I usually don't touch, right? But when 31K Bitcoin hit, I was like, all it, man. All of those stables were suddenly in play, right? And yeah, that does not feel good, right? So I had to, my plan was that, you know, if we go like to 45, 50K or so, that I take those stables out, but that didn't happen. And then I was just way overexposed, right? So at that point, I had to sell. And but now I'm going back in, but I'll leave my existing stable position that I had before. I leave that in place, but I'm going back in pretty quickly now.
Yeah. So I think so like over the past week, we definitely have, you know, these Reaper dips, I will call them right now. You know, these serious dips that happened because of liquidations, and we saw three of them hit us, right? You think that after one dip, traders will learn the lessons and not over leverage, but you know, that's clearly not the case here for us. And so this is on Bitcoin. So yeah, we dipped all the way down. You know, the first dip took us to 29K. This is when kind of like the peak of all FUD, when the China FUD really came in. And then of course, over the week as well. So over last week, what happened was that the China FUD definitely turned out to be a lot stronger than people anticipated. I think that's still, we're still in that phase. I mean, throughout the entirety of last week, it was like, not just about, Chinese banning exchanges. It's also about, you know, FUD about Chinese banning mining. It was Chinese targeting, and you know, there were rumors floating around that the Chinese were arresting the previous owners of OKX and Huobi, right? So these things were becoming building up, and especially when China freaks out, China tends to freak out hardcore, especially because, you know, there's limited news coverage. And if people, you kind of like have the rumor, it's like, you know how in rumor we sometimes buy the rumor, sell the news. This was the exact opposite. It was sell the rumor, probably buy the news once it comes out, right? Because a lot of times we don't know, there weren't any official announcements yet. You know, when you hear rumors that exchange leaders are being arrested left, right, and center, you know, it does create a lot of fear on the market. So that fear kind of really just grew throughout most of last week. This week, we see a little bit more clarity. So during the weekend, it was this low volume bleed out where the volume was very, very low that weekend. And then obviously the prices fell during the weekend. And now as the week progresses this week, we see this really nice bounce back. So we're bouncing all the way to $440,000. So that's for Bitcoin. And that's a very similar story for Ethereum as well. Let me just load my Ethereum charts up here. We have a little chart, and then let me just check that here. Boom. Yeah, ETH went down as quickly as it went up. Which isn't that too bad, right? It went up relatively quickly. It's quite symmetrical, rather. So, So the narrative, like we were seeing for this push up here, was that both China and US, they're both kind of seeing when institutional investors were coming in. So the Chinese were very bullish in early May. So that pushed the market. So the Asian session pushed the markets up, and then the US session pushed the markets up even more, both kind of anticipating when institutional investments were coming in. That was kind of the narrative. So obviously, institutional investments were sitting on the sidelines. They didn't really fully enter the market. And then when the crash happened, it was because people were on very leveraged positions, and boom, we dropped. And we dropped quite heavily. But now, obviously, the narrative is shifting a little bit back again. Okay, maybe institutional investors. I don't see that much action. So I've been talking to a lot of OTC desks, and we don't see too much deployment yet. All right. So I'll put that out there. This seems to be what happens every single bull run, where everyone's talking about institutional investors, and then, you know, it takes a while, guys. It takes a while for these big things to drop. But yeah, we see ETH moving up to around 2,800 again. So that sounds a little bit better than 1,800. I mean, did you guys freak out at 1,800? Was that like the worst point?
Yeah, I think 18. I didn't think it was going to go under 2,000. So I was a little shocked.
You weren't leveraged though, right? I think that's a very big difference. If you weren't leveraged, you don't have to look at it. But the leveraged traders are the ones who are just like, oh my God, like.
yeah, leveraged. I have a lot of friends that got liquidated, actually. Just woke up, tons of texts, you know, just blood in the streets. But I wasn't leveraged at the time, so I'm okay.
Yeah, I think I was talking to the folks, the traders here in Hong Kong, and something that they were doing is they were like just like pouring money into the exchanges or deleveraging their positions. That's always scary. I think that's like, you definitely see who's on edge. You can tell by just their voice who's on leverage, because leverage traders, even if you're like, say, 150% leverage, you'll be sweating, right? You'll be sweating. You'll be like, okay, look, this is not looking good. And I know people who have, you know, they were leveraged and they could defend until maybe $37,000, $35,000. And then, you know, as it drops, you know, they were sweating bullets. It was bad. It was bad. So Robert, on your side, you probably felt the dip was pretty, the dip was pretty bad. It was pretty brutal, but you were out of your position by that time, right?
No, I still had some Ethereum I did sell it at 1950. I still made money in the sense that I protected, you know, more than other people did that didn't sell and trade. But yeah, I gave up, you know, at 1950. I was like, yeah, okay, maybe 25K is not a meme for Bitcoin, you know, maybe we're going down, you know. So yeah, but then
it was rough. So what's your position now? So what's your take right now?
Nathan, you want to start?
Yeah, I'm bullish, guys. I am extremely bullish because I kind of see it on a macroeconomic level what's happening. There was this huge flip of narrative the past 48 hours, and I feel like
what's the flip, Nate? Like, huh? What's your flip?
So Goldman Sachs came out and said that Bitcoin is a new digital asset class. So that's one. And then we have the Elon Musk and the Michael Saylor tweet where they sat down with the Bitcoin miners of North America and they're going to do renewable energy now. That's two. And the third one is, there's one more. Oh, Ray Dalio. He's the guy from Bridgewater Associates, the billionaire. He said that he valued Bitcoin over bonds. And so that's just to me that everybody loaded up their bags. I feel like institutions bought and they're flipping the script right now. And I feel like it's about to go. Just from a massive like macro level, from a world stage, I think, you know, I was waiting to see if, because, you know, Michael Saylor, his average price, you know, as a Bitcoin, well, he's like just one of us, right? He's also like a DJ and he got in. His average price is 24K. So I was waiting to see if Bitcoin would actually go under 24K because he's one of the biggest, you know, one of the bigger investors, and it didn't. So I don't know. I feel like we're about to go for a little run, even if it's going to be sideways for a little bit. I think my sentiment is still bullish as of now.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Go ahead, Rob. Yeah, I agree with what Nathan just said, right? And I would go even one step further, right? So, I noticed something, and you know, like in the Grod group as well, that a lot of people are like, oh, I'm so sick of being exposed to crypto, right? But when I sold all my crypto, I had exactly the opposite feeling, right? I was like, I'm so sick of not being exposed to crypto, right? So I think there is this, like, on an even higher macro level, there's this thing that a lot of people are still waiting for the dollar to plunge, you know, with, like, you know, super inflated this year and last year, right? So I think, man, if you don't have any crypto, I think you're doing it wrong at this point, right? I see so many people, like, on Instagram, travel influencers are blogging about Bitcoin now, right? Like, huge ones with, like, millions of followers. They're like, yeah, here's my portfolio. Many people have asked me, right? I'm like, what? You know? So I think, like, while like mass adoption was really a meme in 2017, I think we all remember that pretty well. This year, it has really happened, right? Like, people are actually in crypto. Like, the people that we thought may never get into crypto got into crypto, right? They're like, they're working with, like, Trust Wallet, and they work with Coinbase, and they're buying shit coins, man. They're buying, like, really coins that, like, you know, that it's not even only like Bitcoin and Ethereum. It's like coins that you really have to go to, like, FTX or Binance for, right? And or even like Cake, even Uniswap, man. Like, complete, like, people that have no technical understanding, they're now able to do this, right? So when you see this, it is very, very hard for me, particularly when you then also combine it with, you know, the inflation of the dollar, etc., to not have crypto, right? At some point, the opportunity cost is way higher. Like, the opportunity cost of losing out on this would be way higher than the swings, right? So, yeah, I'm macro bullish, right? And yeah, I also, as Nathan said, I expect that we do go sideways for a while in the, like, 30 to 40K range, something like that, right? But yeah, then we'll see another breakout, which is what I've been saying for a while, right? That I think we have, like, a double top market, and we're now preparing for that second phase.
You guys hear about GameStop? So. Do you guys hear about GameStop?
GameStop.
You know, yeah, GameStop said they were going to launch NFTs on Ethereum.
No.
Look at Michael's face. He's like, oh, drop into. Yeah, I just saw that earlier.
Just please, like, please, no. Like, I like NFTs bringing people into this, but. However, I think it's a little bit too fast, too furious. It's like, I mean, everyone is jumping on board. It's just like, oh my God, like, what is this NFT for? You got to find some purpose, right? If it's just like, I guess it's a rush to print NFTs right now. I think that's the biggest issue. They know there's money here, right? But, you know, how much? I mean, I mean, Snoop Dogg's doing one. I mean, like, Everyone and the dog is doing one. Probably Snoop Dogg's dog is going to do one too, right? If he has a dog, he's probably going to issue an NFT for that, for him or her or whatever. But yeah, I'm a little bit sick and tired of this narrative. I think, you know, this is like, so you're balancing two forces out, right? So right now, I felt like crypto went too fast, too furious, especially, you know, when everyone was just edging, like when you saw the narrative of, like, you know, how much can we push ETH in, like, 2-3 weeks, right? Like, let's make it double. I mean, you know, there are these narratives, and, you know, ETH is not a small coin, right? Even at its current point, it's like, what, $300 billion market cap coin. It's not a small coin, and it doubles in value. It's not, you know, this is like a huge amount of money being flown, you know, being thrown around here. So I think it's not a joke, right? So, you know, when these big coins move, you know, the amount of money required for that is ridiculous, right? So I felt it was a little bit too fast, too furious. I think Robin, something that Robin alluded to earlier too, I think this is a little bit before stream, was like the quality of new projects and new NFTs and everything coming here is going, like, straight downhill. I definitely feel that. Like, I felt like every single artist is not just making their NFT, but making their NFT platform. And I'm just like, okay, stop, guys, stop. But at the same time, I feel like the speed at which DeFi is growing is very strong. So it's kind of a balance between the two forces. Like, you know, whether, you know, the retail being just a little bit too furious, which makes me very, very bearish. Mm-hmm. And all the safe moons, all the dog coins, that was making me extremely, extremely bearish, right? Like, dog memes. And like, I mean, it's cool, but just because Elon Musk tweets about a dog doesn't mean we should go ape and go crazy, right? I felt like that was one of the strongest top signals, and TikTok being one of the strong, opponents of that, because TikTok videos are short, right? So everyone makes it humorous, they make it fun, but there's no foundation to it, right? Mm-hmm. The whole point is to just make it humorous. And if you invest on humor, I think that's the worst way to invest.
Yeah.
Right. But that being said, I'm also a culprit of trading Doge Bull. I mean, if you guys remember, I was trading Doge Bull and leveraged Doge tokens just because I knew that there was this buildup, right? There's a buildup of tension. I felt like it was going to be a good trade. So from a trading perspective, I was trading it, but I didn't feel like this was the right thing to do. And I think I'm going to make the distinction there. I don't promote these memes because I feel like it's like, I think there's already enough of that already, but I do sometimes trade them because I feel like, if I feel like it's going to go up, why not, right? So I don't want to be a hypocrite there. I think that sounds logical to you guys. But yeah, so I feel like there's two forces. But if this pullback right now, I guess people more logical and thinking about what is right. I mean, now we see different narratives coming in. I think that's good. So do you see the quality of projects going up, Robin, on your side?
No, I don't. I see a lot of projects that I don't want to say too much because, I'm an analyst for Polkastat, so I don't want to give like tips out there, for projects, what to say. But I don't.
How to pass.
Yeah, exactly. We're always like super careful with that because you can imagine that like some of them would most certainly try to game the system, right? So I would say that we have become a lot more conservative with projects that we launch right now because, we need to protect the people that invest and the projects as well, right? So it's like the better everybody does, the better for everybody, right? So and so we have been rejecting the majority of the vast majority of the projects, right? So particularly when you don't do anything, I mean, you just said something, it's not like everybody launches their own NFT, but their own NFT market, right? And I can tell you this much, that we are pretty tired of seeing NFT markets because there's so many. And at this point, we're so tired of them that we have to ask ourselves, whenever we see one, is there anything novel to it? Do they do anything actually new, right? Like actually interesting on a technology level, and that is already not enough anymore, I think. Do they at least have some intellectual property rights, right? Like, do they have any stars on board, any like huge ones, right? So I don't know, man. I think it is a bit late in the stage to like talk about NFT markets, but yeah, it's even generally we see projects really pushing, particularly before the dip. They've been pushing to like, because everybody was expecting it too, right? Really pushing for like a quick IDO to do it fast, right? Mm-hmm. So now this has calmed down a bit, but yeah, generally I would say the quality of the project goes down and the raises go up, which again turned me bearish. I don't want to be too bearish right now, but yeah, it's not a good combination, right?
It's not. And even on building the market side, so, I've been advising Refinable at launch a PokerStarter as well. And it's not just about bringing one or two celebrities along. You have to have the tech. And then also you have to have a huge slew of partnerships. Like right now, the Refinable phase, like they're kind of testing it out with artists, like the platform doing this very soft launch right now. So the platform is already launched, but it's basically getting artists to come on board, to list their items, and just like so many small things as well along the way that we're discovering. Like, how do you get art? Like, artists are like, oh yeah, we have like 100 pieces of art, or there's associations with a huge collection of art, and they need to bulk mint something like that. So like, even just like getting the artists out there, and then kind of slowly tuning the features to make it a good platform. It's really hard. It's not easy, and sometimes people bulk mint too much. Sometimes people bulk mint too little. So there's a lot of tuning process. It's definitely not easy, and it requires a whole team. Like the Refinable team itself, like when I'm speaking to them, they're just expanding, trying to get more people, not just tech wise, but operations and management, and just partnerships as well. Just getting kind of these artists on board, and there's a lot of questions too. So I think it's just like it's not easy. I think a lot of people when they kind of present, and I've heard pitches too, right? You know, I invest in projects and I hear a lot of pitches, and a lot of times they're like, yeah, we got one programmer on board who's really great at NFTs, and then we have one BD, and then
no, it doesn't really work like that, right? Like I like Refinable. I like Refinable for a lot of good reasons, right? And I think even from the get-go, they were, you know, the first really big NFT marketplace, which is something I've been looking for a while on BSC, right? Everybody was like talking about how Bakery Swap is an NFT. Man, nothing against Bakery Swap, but it's incomparable. It's like completely different, man. So yeah, I was a fan of Refinable straight away.
Yeah, there's also just a shout out. There's a big band NFT competition right now on Refinable. Ooh. It's done in collaboration with the guys at Binance Smart Chain. So check that out. I think voting already ended, though, so unfortunately. But those are the top tier NFTs right now. And there's a lot going on. Like, I can tell you in the background, like, Nick is working his ass off. Like, he doesn't sleep. Like, this is one of the best things about Nick. I call him like 4 a.m. in the morning sometimes. And he's like, yo, what's up, man? How are you, sir? And he's like working his ass off trying to get everything done. And it's not easy. It's like, especially after the project launches, it's like a whole new game out there. It's crazy. So I think that is true. Like right now, like we definitely see that everyone's trying to do something. I feel like a lot of times, like I was like joking last session about with you guys too, right? Like when you ask projects, you know, a little bit deeper about what they're doing, most of the time they don't really know what they're doing. Like you're asking the people questions like, yeah, okay. They're like, oh, we're a layer two solution building blah, blah, blah. And I'm asking, okay, which layer two solution are you using? And then, you know, you see their face, it just turns white. You know, they're like, wait, there's more than one layer two solution? Like, what? And these are like, you know, like what's surprising is that usually, you know, Rob was saying how I grow people, and you know, I can be very mean sometimes. And the standard strategy I have to grow people is to ask them, you know, three layers deep about what they're doing. So, say for example, if they talk about layer two solutions, I ask them, okay, which one? And then after they talk about whether they adopt, like say something like Matic or you know something like Plasma, I'll ask them a little bit deeper about you know what's good about Plasma, what do you like about it, how do you exit? So you go like multiple levels deep, and that always helps because you can see when they start losing their understanding. And you can see when they sweat, so you can push them until they sweat a bit and then they understand. So I think one of the best ones that I've ever done this with is with Matic. So Sandeep from Matic, and like it was like we were circling each other trying to test, you know, who knows what, and then just kind of pushing each other's buttons. But that's deep, right? So you know, Sandeep, he's an engineer, he knows what he's doing. But a lot of times now, like you know, even in the first sentence when you ask them a question, in the very first sentence of their pitch, they completely go blank. Like you're not even going three layers deep. You're going like you're not even going one layer deep. You're just asking them a little bit about their project, and they just draw a blank. They're like, wait, you ask questions? Like, I mean, what's happening, Robin? Do you guys not ask questions on PokerStarter? Is that what's happening?
No,
it's like,
no,
are other launchpads not asking questions?
Yeah, I cannot cannot talk about other launchpads, you know, but I can tell you that I know exactly what you're talking about because I have a very technical background, right? So in our calls,
right.
We jump into it, and yeah, there are those moments, right? It doesn't happen like super often, but it does happen like a couple times a week, right? Where we ask a couple of questions and go deeper, and it has happened like on numerous occasions where you just then have like this awkward 10-second silence in the call where nobody says anything anymore, right? And then I'm like, yeah, I guess we found, you know, where it stops, you know, and that's usually a big no then from us, you know. But yeah, particularly when it's like, I don't know, I don't want to call anything out, but it's like sometimes, you know, they have a business idea, and then the entire business idea, like we just dig deeper and deeper of where we think, you know, this, where the flaw is. And then at some point, yeah, they're just out of ideas, out of answers, right? And that's when we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So Netflix is, they don't know how to put it in layman's terms. I think it's not even that. It's just they don't even know that there's like, it's like a classic situation where they don't even know anything about layer twos and how, like, anyways, yeah, that was my example. It's just like, it's not about explaining. It's about they didn't even know that there were multiple layer two solutions. I mean, this is like,
I wouldn't even go as far as like only. I wouldn't limit it to layer two. It's like sometimes it's about like storing something that is supposed to be secret on the blockchain, right? And then we ask, you know, like things like, okay, like in this particular example, okay, how would you keep the secret, right? Do you encrypt something on the blockchain? How do you do this, right? And then, yeah, there's just no answers, right? And then that's where it stops.
Let me go and ask my hedge engineer. Just like,
well, we actually always ask them to have a tech person on the call. Because we won't jump in, right?
Yeah. All right. That's brutal. But yeah, I think this is just an example of like the market very gearing up to raising money right now. I think that's one of the negative indicators, and I think we feel a little bit more than everyone else, because I try to get on early calls with projects and people who are new coming up and seeing how because like I've been more investment focused this season as well. And when you go to a lot of these early stage projects, they haven't practiced their pitch before. They don't know what to expect. Sometimes, and it's a good time to tell if, their core team is competent or not, right? But, sometimes it's clearly not. So anyways, enough bitching. I think enough complaining. I think we gave too many tips already to projects. It's too much alpha leak here. But I think those are two forces. I feel like it would be good. Like, I think the biggest danger right now, I would say, just hearing us in the circles, like we want the market to stay stable for a while, right? That's the biggest issue. It's like what we want, because if the market stays like chill for 2 or 3 months, that's actually going to be good to purge out the bad projects, right? Or if it goes a little bit lower, but that's what we want to see, right? But the problem is, I think the market never behaves the way we want it, right? It was either. It's either too crazy or it's either too bullish or too bearish. So I think this is a time where, yet again, I feel like I'm interested to see what the institutional investors on the sidelines are actually going to do. That's number one. And number two is I want to see the actual announcements from the Chinese to see kind of like, if there's a situation where everyone's selling the rumor and then maybe buying the news, then like, when is the news going to come out? When's the next batch of news, right? Like, a lot of people in Hong Kong right now are discussing the latest legislation changes in Hong Kong. So they're trying to make it such that only institutional investors or professional investors can have access to Bitcoin. So you have to prove that you have more than $1 million of US dollars in your current bank accounts. So crypto bank accounts apparently is not good enough. You have to prove that you have old money, right? You can't just have crypto money. So it's kind of interesting. Like right now, like a lot of people are very sarcastic and be like, they're rolling their eyes. You'll be like, oh, a crypto trader who's been trading for 3 years, but they don't have $1 million in HSBC, they can't trade. But an old grandma who has never heard about Bitcoin, who has more than $1 billion US dollars in a bank account, can. So anyways, we'll have to see how that goes. It's kind of a little bit weird and ironic. So anyways,
it's just, it's just about this, like when I read this headline, and with Cointelegraph, you always need to be a bit careful. So I didn't, read into it, but when I read the headline, that now, it just read like the rich are getting richer, which is something that is really getting to me when it's being done in crypto, But I mean, I know it is inevitable, right? That's just how the forces work. But I did hope that we have more time, right? That more people can get to the level where they can accumulate more wealth, And I don't know if we're moving too fast into this direction of limiting, like in the UK, for example, you cannot trade any crypto derivatives anymore for a couple of years already, right? And now this is in Hong Kong, right? And like, I wonder if there's more countries that come out with like restrictions on, imagine there would be some restrictions like how much crypto you can hold as a non-accredited investor or something like that, right? This is nuts, man. I'm quite afraid of this,
Yeah. I love how chat is commenting on what Nathan looks like. Crypto Freedom says, I think Nate looks like that, like Vaction Brock from Pokemon. Really, guys?
Brock?
Nathan's never coming on again.
I'm going to get a tan.
Next time he has us on McDonald's at night.
I'll just replace myself with a Street Fighter character right now.
Like Leslie, yeah.
I mean, Brock. Doesn't he look like Sprock from Pokemon? I mean, oh yeah, the eyebrows, man. The eyebrows and the hair. We're on point, guys. We're on point. You gotta get a 10, Nate. 10. Next. All right. Nate. Okay, all right. So here's a battle plan. All right, here's a battle plan, right? 5K, above 5K, you gotta have a serious 10, all right? So you gotta be Brock. And then above 9K, you gotta dye your hair. This is for Ethereum, right? You gotta dye your hair so you're Super Saiyan, Brock.
All right, deal.
What is wrong with chat?
I'll do it. Just for this chat. I'm not gonna share any videos.
I mean, I saw a comment earlier, which is like, Nate is too handsome to be on this channel. I'm like, wow. Wow, guys. Wow. But Nate, can I reveal this? You were on a top male model pageant once.
Yeah. Too late, man. Too late.
Nate's a male model, man.
No, I am not. Jesus.
All right. I said too much. We'll do it. Male model reveal coming at 20K ETH, okay? All right, guys. All right. So obviously, do you guys check the China news as well? It's kind of interesting. So China, I think, is a little bit weird. Interesting, right? Because they've been kind of very anti. They kind of flipped. The government narrative has flipped a lot. So they were kind of responsible for a lot of the FUD, and it's kind of interesting how it works, right? Because I think a lot of people don't understand how Chinese government works, but I think like a lot of this has to do with giving face as well. So sometimes what happens in the Chinese government, if the top officials say, yo, we gotta crack down on crypto a little bit, everyone on the bottom tries to do their part to crack everything down. So like the people in charge of energy will be like, yo, let's crack down mining again. And then people in charge of the banks will be like, oh, let's crack down on anti-money laundering again. You know, let's do whatever we can. So I feel like that seems to be the narrative in China right now, where kind of it feels like the top said something and then the bottom or the middle tier is all trying to give face to the top and say, okay, look, we've done this in the last week. All right, here's what we've done to answer to the top, right? So I feel like this is where that's where a lot of the fear came in from last week. So a lot of people probably don't understand. It's probably new to a lot of people who don't look in China in depth, because you know the Chinese crypto population is huge, right? I think Rob, you have exposure to that. You definitely know that the Chinese are super hot about crypto. Right. And this is from two kind of angles. Right. One is because the country itself is pushing blockchain very hard. So 2019, 2020, Xi Jinping literally came out, and said, you know, blockchain is the next big frontier. Right. Blockchain, AI, you know, building rail, high speed rail, that's like our main key priorities for China for the next 5 years, right? And then of course 2020, the media, mainstream media was saying, hey, guess what? Yeah, blockchain is huge, but guess what? Look at these coins too. Look at Ethereum, look at Bitcoin. These have been outperforming the market for a long time. So this was on CCTV, right? This is mainstream media, and that's the mouthpiece of the Chinese government. So this is why they're super hot about it, and this is why the whole community kind of went more aggressive into blockchain. And last year there were rumors that Huobi and OKX would reopen up to Chinese investors. So that's kind of like all the hope of last year. Now this year, obviously, the market's getting crushed down a little bit. The government probably saw the speculation is a little bit too crazy. I think if you talk to projects a lot, they all are trying to build a Chinese community too. That seems to be something like I kind of feel like the Western projects are reaching out to the Chinese community, and the Chinese projects are reaching out to the Western community. It's almost like a reverse, right? I think it's because of the regulations. I mean, if they raise in China, they don't want Chinese investors. But if they raise overseas, they're like, yeah, okay, whatever. Well, let's have more Chinese investors. So it kind of felt like the case there. But anyways, regardless of the fact that this seemed like the government kind of flipped 180 on this, and we're kind of waiting to see what happens. But on your side, are you guys concerned about the China fear, or is that completely over? The China FUD's done, you know, it's game over.
Well, I think the China FUD was, well, it got some of my family members too. They were kind of scared as well. It was, I think it was effective in what they were doing. But I do feel like I've heard this narrative before. You know, in 2013, 2017, I've heard this band, and it's so smart. I feel like, man, it's because, you know, because crypto is a global market, right? And you know, I don't, you know, touch wood, I hope we never go to war ever. But you know, there was the Cold War, and there's like the information, there's hacks, you know. So if there's any moves that are being made politically, I would think that it would be, you know, it would all be kind of on the informational side. And so I feel like for them to release a story like that and then to buy up the bags, that's genius. I think that's pretty smart. You know, I don't have enough money to do anything like that, but I think from a strategic standpoint, it works. I think people get scared and then they sell, especially when I was new, in 2017, I heard the India flood come out. I heard the Korea flood come out. I sold. I was like, you know, IRS, you know, whatever, dude, you know, here's, you know, whatever. And it was very effective. I was a very emotional person in crypto in 2017, you know, and now I'm just like, well, I've heard this before, and, you know, I'm trying to tell people, you know, but again, you know, it's one thing to experience it for yourself, and then it's one thing to just try to tell people to stay calm.
Yeah, I think there was a comment just on chat about India flood coming next, and then Rob was like, oh, India flood didn't happen already?
No, it did. It did, man. They banned crypto again, no, like a month ago or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. I was like Modi that's saying that crypto can no longer be traded. I don't know, man. I wonder what's the Korea flood. We haven't had Korea flood in a while.
No, Korea flood was pretty rampant. Like,
really?
Well, I saw a few articles of the Korean government really heavily trying to bring it down. But like, I guess because crypto was going up at that time, everyone just ignored it. I guess like when people always, they always read more into FUD when the markets are going down. And FUD doesn't really work when the markets are going up, right? So it's kind of funny. Like Korea government tried a few things, right? Korea, you know, because they were seeing like huge trade, and then yeah. Anyways, I saw
IMF, you know, IMF, European Union, that may be something like that, you know.
It's like we're playing bingo, right? It's almost like we're playing bingo, like, you know, like China foot is in the center because it happens almost every single time, and then we're surrounded by, like, you know, India foot, bat mining foot, you know, Elon Musk tweeting bad things about, oh yeah. My God.
That's not
what
Elon, man.
Yeah, tons of
fun. I am so done with Elon, man. It's like somebody said it. I don't know who said that, but somebody, you know, a friend of mine maybe, is that it's so ironic that something as decentralized as crypto becomes so controlled by like one centralized entity, you know? And I do not subscribe to this. That this happens, man. You know, yeah. So yeah. I wish it wasn't the case.
But with Elon, I have to say this. You know, like, you know, the famous quote from Pirates of the Caribbean is like, you can always trust a dishonest person to be dishonest, right? You can always trust Elon, right? He's a crazy person. He just tweets anything out there, right? You can always expect the unexpected from Elon. I think like, you know, 100%, you know, people who expected Elon to be always pro crypto, I think, you know, they got some problems, because, you know, Elon has always been, you know, crazy and wild out there. This is like a perfect example of Elon Musk tweets. I mean, if you haven't followed Elon for a while, this is what he does, right? Yeah. He's a troll lord. He's a troll lord first and a meme lord second, right? So I think that's expected. Yeah. So anyways,
I think it's to be expected, and you know, he's building rockets, man. I think if I had any questions about building rockets going to space, or, you know, electric cars, I would definitely ask him as the expert. Like, he would be the guy to ask about rockets. About crypto, there's other experts out there. There's Robin from Kickstarter. There's, you know, Michael from Box Mining. You know, there's other people out there.
Nathan from Crypto Knots.
Yeah,
there's other people out there. So. That's true. Trolls always be trolling, guys. I agree.
Yeah, I do hope that we post. Yeah, go ahead.
I do hope we go post what? Sorry.
Post Elon, you know, like that we can just move on, and that he focuses on like electric cars for once, you know, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
give it back to the community. Let them, you know, let them do their thing.
Yeah. All right. So I think towards the end of this segment, I think should we talk about coins that we're looking into? Are you guys, you know, bringing out your shopping trolleys? You know, let's talk about alts a little bit as well, because we talked about the main ones, because, you know, obviously we definitely think the main ones dictate the pace of the market, right? So both Ethereum, we got, Bitcoin, we sometimes have Binance Smart Chain. But, you know, what are you guys looking into these days in terms of alts? Are you looking into particular sectors in general? You know, are you getting more exposure to alts? What's happening?
Sure. I'm actually wanted to give my friend Michael, I saw him in the chat, a quick shout out. He's with LDA. They do marketing, and he's running an event called DeFi Summit, which is going to be in June, which is going to be pretty exciting. It's a virtual conference, so you guys can check that out if you have time. And for the alts,
Is it this one, Nate? DeFiSummit.com. All right, DeFiSummit.com, guys.
Yeah, so you can check that out if you have time. I believe it's free. So if you have time, you guys want to learn from different speakers, just hop in there and chill and get to know everybody.
Who's good? Who's good? Who should we look out for?
Look out for Box Mining.
Or there's Sandeep. Sandeep's there. Sandeep's good there. Let's see.
Yeah, Leslie from GBV.
Oh, Leslie. Leslie's showing his real face. Wow, that's cool. Pretty cool. Leslie's there. Oh, we got Data Dash. Look at that. That's a handsome face right there.
Dan Reeser. We got Eric Ma.
We got this guy. This guy looks really handsome. He doesn't belong in crypto. We need a magazine. We need a calendar. We need that 2020 Nathan crypto calendar. Crypto Knots. Make it an NFT, all right? Make it an NFT. We'll pre-sell it. 2020 Nathan's calendar.
Nobody's gonna buy it. My mom might buy it. My family might buy it, but nobody's gonna buy it.
NFT that shit. Okay. All right. Sir, let's do it. Let's do it, guys. All right, let's see. We got Tushar's here from Persistence is cool. Cool. That's all the faces I recognize. Oh, come on. I want to see more faces, please, sir. Sir, where's
Linear Finance is down there. I saw them too.
Yeah, Linear's there, so I expect Linear to be there. Oh, this BitBoy's there. BitBoy's there if you like BitBoy. Rob, where's your photo? Where's your photo, Rob?
I don't do conferences.
Let's get Rob on there. Let's get
Mike. I don't do conferences, guys. I don't.
Man,
I
only use
conferences. You guys are too busy.
I only use conferences as an excuse to travel, you know? So if this was somewhere like in Singapore or, you know, I don't know, in Tokyo or something, I'd be like, yeah, man, like, let's go. You know?
If it was virtual, you're not going to go. You're just like me.
Yeah, virtual is not for me, man.
Yeah.
All right. So that's one shout out. Anything else you want to shout out, Nate?
I'm looking at Parami very closely. I don't know if you've heard
Parami.
Of that. Parami, yeah. I'm looking at them very closely. And obviously, Deeper Network as well. They have a product, so a decentralized private network. And then, Parami's digital decentralized identification, which is like advertising. So pretty interesting stuff. You guys can take a look if you have time.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. How about Rob, man? What are you looking at?
Sure. As I said before, I'm quite conservative, right? I only hold a couple of alts. I went yesterday. There was like a weird dip on Ava, which is the Travala token, right? Again, I shilled this before. I cannot shill this enough, right? It is the only. I am not associated with them at all, right? I have absolutely no stake in this, but I really like it because it's you get an interest rate if you stake it, right? You get like 5% discount on all your travel things. You get a 5% cash back when you do this, and you get a 3% additional discount when you pay with Ava, right? So, I mean, I just have a ton of Ava in my Travala account. I stake some of them to get all those benefits. And then when I book, there's no credit card, there's no nothing. It will just directly deduct it from the wallet. I get the best prices. If they don't have the best prices, they'll have a best price guarantee, which I've used twice so far, where I just booked it because I wanted to book it with crypto, knowing farewell that it wasn't the best price. And then I just sent them an email saying, hey, guys, here's a screenshot, booking.com. And then they gave me the difference in hours, right? So I cannot recommend this enough. So yesterday I went quite deep into them again because I actually use it, right? It's not something that I use for like speculation. I just use it a lot. Nice. And then there was a Polkadot startup project recently called DeFine, which is an exchange on Polygon. And this is written or like done by the same guys that did Router Protocol. And that is a very interesting thing, right? So yesterday I went
into normally Router. Like DeFine, like is it spelled, how do you spell
no,
it?
No, it's D-F-Y-N.
DeFine. This one, right? DeFine.
Yeah,
right.
That's it.
Man, this is a problem of crypto. We got like, how do you spell it?
Yeah.
How do you spell it? I'm like, all right, guys. All right. DeFine.
Yeah. So those guys, they are, right. So they are, first of all, they are a Polygon exchange, right? And they have gasless transactions. So I use them a lot. Like every time there's something that I can actually trade on them, I don't pay any gas, right? So they are actually subsidizing the gas because it's so cheap, right? But the real killer comes, I think, in about a month or so when so the same guys that built DeFine, they also built Router Protocol. And Router Protocol is like a cross-chain liquidity protocol where essentially like in like a few weeks or so, you'll be able to be on DeFine and do a trade, and then it sources the liquidity on a variety of different chains so that you get like the best liquidity.
That's really
right?
powerful, yeah.
Man, this is so cool.
Also, these farms are great. Look at that. Look at USDT, USDC. Sorry, my brain is always, my brain is configured to only look at the farms. I'm like, how do I make money here, sir? You think this is safe?
It is. Yeah, I have a ton of money in this actually, but there's a caveat to it. So this is vested.
No wonder. Yes. I'm like 100% APR. I mean, come on, guys. Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still 25%. Even the unlocked part is still 25%, right? You get it like a while. So, I'm staking there quite a lot. But yeah, the thing I'm most excited about is like if you actually use it and you enable like gasless transactions, they're instant, right? They don't cost anything. And then in the future, like in the not far future, few weeks or so, you will be able to trade anything there, right? From awesome. Like BSC and anything. So those DeFine routes and Ava and of course Pulse, those four are what I'm in.
Awesome. That looks good. I'm actually like legit looking at this because I used to have my funds in FTX getting the lending rates, right? But the problem is lending rates are like so terrible
now.
It's like 0.88. What the hell, yeah. Sam? Come on. Come on, this is disappointing. This is very disappointing.
This is the lowest I have ever seen, right?
I know, right?
1 to 1.5.
I know.
And now it's 0.88. Not.
Yeah, I mean, it's convenient. I mean, like we saw this number at like 100% for some time. So I was enjoying my 100% APY for a few hours. And then now it's cut down to like 0.88. Come on, I'm moving my money out. It's just like,
yeah, but like, I mean, what does it tell you, right? It just tells you that nobody's long, right?
Well, no one also has dangerous positions. So I think last time, you know, while we're talking about these rates, Leslie pointed out that people who have negative balances have to pay for this, right? So who's the counterparty, right? So people who have positions open and they have a negative USD balance, they get wrecked. So I think a lot of people, they kind of reset their leverage a little bit. You know, they kind of rebalance their portfolio. So I think now it's in a safer position. But yeah, so these rates are just terrible right now. Like I'm pretty not bad. Afraid to call it. Yeah, that's pretty bad. So
you can like I balance my stables between FTX, which right now I'm not even lending because it's like such an opportunity cost to miss on dips, right? And last time during the dip, they were really slow. It took like half an hour or so before they released
after the full hour.
So they were really slow. I'm not going to do that again. Not if I want to buy the dip. What I do though is a lot of Binance as well. So their rates, they're subsidized by BNB as well, right? So they're paying you like half of the, or a higher percentage, in BNB, which if you're bullish on BNB or the market itself, it's actually, you know, pretty good. And their rates are often, if the market isn't insane, their rates on liquid swap is what it's called, right?
Yes, liquid swap is the one.
So they are much higher in the current market than what FTX would pay you.
Right.
And then if you do some like yield aggregator or even like just DeFine, that's what I do, right? That's where my stables right now.
It's kind of funny because everyone has like their stories of how to do it, guys. So we'll do a farming episode sometime as
I
well.
I think
to get,
it's pretty funny that you can always see who's a farmer and who's not. Michael's like immediately looking at the USDT, USDC pool. I'm like, this is farmer for.
It's like the farmer mentality. I'm not. I don't even care what your exchange does. I just want my. I just want my rewards, man. I want the free food. All right. I'm one of those assholes that goes to Costco and just gets a free food. Right. Like, let's hit the buffet, guys. Let's just go around. Like, well, I wanted to check out your beef. I want to see if your beef is up to quality. I want to get the free food there. I want to get the free food for all those like snacks and all those desserts. Oh my god, that's me, man. That's me. No shame. No shame. Zero shame.
Zero what happened shape. To food tokens, guys? Yeah, now that you mention it, what happened to food tokens, man?
Hey, food is we got eggplant in our channel. I think eggplant.
Oh, that's hot. That's true.
Yeah,
I forgot to put eggplant.
Eggplant finance. I'm still farming that.
You're still, yeah. I never got into it.
I'm still there. But I mean, that's support. Like that's
oh,
from.
What is this eggplant? 1.4 mil win Lambo AE. That's pretty cool. It reminds me of VeggieTales. I don't know if you guys know.
It kind of grew from our community. Like some community members are doing this. I don't want to reveal too much, but yeah, it's we'll take a look. They're doing quite a lot of stuff recently. So
I'm about to go in there.
All right. It's quite looking tasty. So Robin, you just had to bring that up. Anyways, guys. So I think we're gonna wrap up this session, guys. I hope we covered everything that we need to look at. Guys, we'll do more episodes. If you guys have more suggestions on what to do, Barney DeBose says, please do a farming episode. I think we should. Farms have changed a lot, man. I think so interesting enough, one of my farms, I think you guys probably guess what it is, but it's still doing around 60. I just did the calculations on it this morning. So that's probably my top one for USDC. And then all the Binance blockchain ones, just Binance Smart Chain ones just got totally wrecked. Like they're like at 20% or whatnot. I feel sad. Because like I used to be able to farm and like my daily expenditure would be covered by these farms, right? Like that's how I live my life now. I'm such a freeloader that I only spend money that I get for free.
Yeah. That's how I felt with FTX until recently, right?
I know, right?
So much money coming in. My God.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'll review some little bit of alpha. So with Genesis Block, they're creating a card soon. So this is right now too limited. It's beta testing to limited people, right? But so I don't know how much I need to block out this card. But anyways, just know it's coming. I guess if you guys are in Hong Kong, check out the guys at Genesis Block. They have a card. So you can spend with crypto on this card. So I guess I use this to block it. All right, here you go. Actually, I won't review anything, but anyway, so they're beta testing some. All right, I haven't said anything. They're based up testing a product. I'm testing that product out, but it's very convenient to just spend your crypto and your farming gains, and I guess that's how I'm living my life right now. So, you know. Anyways, I hope you guys we can share some more farming stuff. I hope you guys if you guys enjoyed this very chill session with us, make sure you smash up the likes. It really does help this channel. If you have anything else to share with us as well, make sure you type in the comments below. We'll get everyone to read it out soon, and then we'll have that. So I definitely want to thank Robin for coming in today, thank Nate for being so consistent. I know you're traveling a lot and you're still doing this show, so thank you. I love your hair, dude. Don't ever cut it. And we're good, guys. So thank you guys so much for watching. Smash the likes, and we'll see you guys soon, guys. Great show.
Thanks, guys. See you guys soon.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
Cheers.